They were quite the duo, Paul and Silas, going from one city to the next, telling everyone who could hear about Jesus. And if they found someone who couldn't hear, they prayed for God to heal them so they could hear, so they could tell them about Jesus. After a few stop signs from God, God gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia calling for help. Silas started singing, "On the Seas Again," and off they sailed. They met a lady named Lydia, a rich lady. She was a seller of purple. She was the fuchsia fashionista, had her own empire of purple clothes and textiles. She was already a worshiper, but hadn't yet been born again. So even though she had all the money she wanted, she still needed Jesus. They preached the gospel to her. She and her family were baptized, and Paul and Silas had their first saints at the First Apostolic Church in Philippi. Revival was coming to Macedonia, and Paul and Silas were walking on air. This must be what the will of God feels like. They headed for the temple, and that's when it happened. There was a slave who made her masters a fortune by telling everyone's fortune. She followed Paul and Silas around like a shadow, crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who show us the way of salvation." That felt pretty good. Someone recognized who they were and whose they were. Paul may have even elbowed Silas. "Hey, Si, you listen to that? We're the servants of the Most High God." But after a few days of that, Paul had enough. He turned around and shouted, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And immediately, the spirit that used to control her came out, and she was free. Let's rejoice. Another demon has met his match. But her master's moneymaker was gone, and they were stark raving mad. They arrested Paul and Silas, drummed up charges against them, and had them stripped and beaten. Then they were thrown into prison, into the deep, dark dungeon inside the prison, where light could not get in and prisoners could not get out. And just for good measure, the jailer fastened their feet into stocks. They weren't going anywhere. Maybe this is what the will of God feels like. And on that bright and cheery note, you're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to Simplify. After the shock wore off, I see Paul look over at Silas and ask, "How you feeling, Si?" "Pretty sore, Paul. How about you?" "Been better. Been worse." "Give me an A-flat." "I can't, Paul. They took my pitch pipe." "You can do it. Just give me an A-flat." "That's good, Si. That's good. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee." I know, it hasn't been written yet, but work with me here. The prisoners heard plenty of prisoners pray, but they'd never heard anyone sing in there, and definitely not at midnight. But at midnight, when everyone else was trying to sleep, Paul and Silas started to sing, and as they sang, the other prisoners listened. Paul and Silas sang because Paul and Silas understood God is good even when life is not. We don't sing because life is good. We sing because God is good. And we don't just sing when life is good. We sing all the time because God is good. All the time. They weren't singing for the prisoners, but the prisoners heard them. You're not singing for your boss. But when you walk into work to pack your things after you've been let go, but you're still singing the same song you were singing when you still had the job you were working, your boss hears you. You're not singing for the family beside you in the ER. But when you're singing, as you wait and wonder if your family in the ER will make it out of the ER, the family beside you hears you. The difference between believers and unbelievers is not that unbelievers go through trials and believers don't. We all walk through the valley. The difference is believers sing through their trials, even if unbelievers don't. Go ahead and scroll through your news feed. You'll see that the world is on fire. And in some places, very literally, the world is on fire. But born-again followers of Jesus are still singing. And the world is listening. They may even hate us, but they hear us. When we sing, the world hears. So don't lose your faith and don't lose your song. Everyone around us needs to hear us more than ever. Even if this life saps all our strength and steals all our health and leaves us taking our last breath on our deathbed, we will still be singing, O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So sing. Sing in the store. Sing in your city square. Sing on the streets. Sing at work unless you're not allowed. Then hum unless you're not allowed. Then sing in your heart. And when you get to the parking lot, sing. I don't know if Paul and Silas were good singers, but I do know they were singing to a good God, and so are you. So keep singing. You never know who's listening. Let's pray. Our world needs our prayers, and our world needs our song more than ever before. So let's pray that the Lord would use us to pray and to sing in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Jesus, I thank you today for your goodness. You are so faithful. You are so good. You are so merciful. You are so gracious. God, you're able to bring peace to a world in chaos. You're able to bring peace through the church. I pray, God, every born-again believer, every follower of you, Lord, would rise up today and would sing. I pray, God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what sickness, no matter what imprisonment, no matter what persecution, no matter what financial troubles, whatever we're going through, God, I pray you'd give us our song and you would let us sing it all for your glory. I pray use us today to help bring peace to a world who needs it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an assignment. If your city has a square, I encourage you to go sit on a bench in the square and just sing. You don't need a banner. You don't need business cards. You don't need a flyer. You don't even need your church's t-shirt. Just get out in the square and sing. If you play the guitar, and take your guitar out there and play and sing. Our world needs our song. When you go into the grocery store, sing. When you go into the, get your oil changed, sing. Sing everywhere. I was going through Kroger recently to get the best chocolate milk on the planet. Sorry, Wisconsin listeners. And while I was in there, one of the ladies at the cash register said, what's wrong? And I said, oh, nothing. She said, but you're not singing. You always sing. You're not singing. I didn't realize people at Kroger were listening. And I'm not a good singer. You just heard that a few stanzas ago. But nevertheless, they do hear us when we sing. And when we don't, they wonder what's wrong. And the world right now is needing somebody with an answer for all the ills. And that answer is Jesus and being right with Him. So sing. I hope this episode has been a blessing to you. And I hope from now on you will sing everywhere you go to everyone who will listen. If you would like to pick up a copy of the Devotional Simplify from which this podcast was launched, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com. It's available in print. It's available on Kindle. Reach out to me on social media. I would love to hear from you and hear if this episode and this podcast is being a blessing to you. My Facebook handle is lj.harry, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at lj&andrea, lj&andrea. I look forward to hearing from you. Next week is Father's Day week, and I want to share with you a devotion called The Toolbox, hopefully an appropriate devotion for all our dads out there. I look forward to talking about that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk and sing through Simplify. Hit it, theme music.